reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
From the middle of the fourth week of Easter through the end, we ponder Jesus' words during the Last Supper, rereading them from the light of the resurrection. But whether we look at them prior to Jesus' death or after his resurrection, what we have here at this part of the 15th chapter of St. John's Gospel is Jesus pouring himself out in his valedictory. There are other parts of this discourse in which he's talking to us about the Holy Spirit, talking to us about the need for unity, talking to us about commandments, etc., using various images. But it's right here where Jesus does something which actually makes sense straightforwardly as he's looking ahead to what is going to happen on the morrow. He just pours out why he's doing it all. "As the Father loves me, I love you." I think that these are the most important words in the Gospel. These are the most important words of all time. We know that God the Father loves Jesus infinitely. He loves him perfectly. And Jesus is saying he loves us that same way. St. John Paul II wrote in his first encyclical, words that are probably, after "Be not afraid," the most famous words of his pontificate. "Man cannot live without love. If that's the case, he's a being incomprehensible to himself. That life is an enigma unless we experience love. And the love of God for us is the ground of our capacity for loving anybody else or receiving anybody else's love. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us first and handed over his Son as an expiation for our sins. To experience this love of God is the single most important thing that could ever happen to us. We cannot live without love. But at a basic level, even though human loves can substitute, what we're really looking for is a love that will last, a love that can't die, a love that can't be taken away, a love that can't be betrayed. And Jesus is giving us that love. He's communicating it to us. In this age of so many broken families, in this age in which people are doing a multitude of things that draw them away from the most important things, so many grow up with a deficit of love in their life. Maybe from a mom or a dad or both. Maybe from a failure to have brothers and sisters, such as you don't experience that type of fraternal love in the home. Maybe it's they went to school in an extremely competitive situation or even a violent and intimidating situation. Maybe they've been betrayed in relationships over and over and over again. But there are so many people today who do not believe that they're lovable, that they're fundamentally good, that someone else, not to mention God, says, "I love you, you are important to me. I think about you, I care about you, I would die for you." Many haven't had this experience. And it's key for us in the church, like Saint Therese, to be love in the heart of the church. We have to palpably love people because this is the essence of the Gospel. Jesus came so that filling us with his love in tandem within us, we would be able to go out and love others at that same level, being willing to lay down our lives for others. But if that's ever going to happen, we first need not just to be able to cite John 15:9. We need to experience John 15:9, because we can only give what we have. So probably some of you have had over the course of time, I give John 15:9 as a penance a lot, because I think it's the greatest spiritual medicine there is, to just really deeply ponder Jesus saying, just as the Father loves me, Roger, I love you. It really did turn my life around. The problem for many of us who are religious is that we structure our life trying to earn God's love rather than starting our life with God's love. We try to earn it by being faithful, by keeping all our duties, by doing everything perfectly. But that's never going to bring the experience of having been loved, because we can never earn it. It's unmerited. It comes first. Remember when I was in my 20s, my first couple years in seminary, I lived a very ascetic life. There was no mortification I didn't practice and practice well. I sanctified seconds, not just hours and minutes. Cold shower, sleeping on the floor, Weir and Silas is doing disciplines. Consecrate my brain to God. Going out and serving the poor with the Missionaries of Charity, so much. But at the end of the day, I didn't really feel loved by the Lord. I was still searching. It was a missed experience. Remember May of my, right before my ordination, preaching a homily on Jesus' words on love in St. John's Gospel. And it was a beautiful thing, linking all of what Jesus said together. But for the most part, it was really just theological ideas presented crisply. It wasn't a genuine experience. But it was December of my first year as priest, incidentally on the feast of St. Roger, in which a religious of the Sisters of Mercy of Olma said to me, blurting out on the Via della Conciliazione in Rome, talking to Father Giertych, whom you know, or whom you've listened to, she was just saying that she had met me, and or he had met me. She just blurted out, and that's why I told Father Giertych, that's why I just love Father Roger so much. And I was paralyzed on the Via della Conciliazione. My whole existence was supposed to be a reflection of Christ's love in the church. But even though I never am at a loss for words, I couldn't say anything. And I went back to the chapel of the North American College, knelt down in front of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, and said, what the heck was that all about? Why couldn't I just even acknowledge? Why was I verklempt? Didn't quite get my answer. 6 weeks later, a Carmelite from Alhambra said, you know, Father Roger, just want to say thank you. I love you so much. Again, I couldn't say anything in response. 9 days later, a Nashville Dominican basically said the same words, all of which were very chastely, but what the Lord taught me was that I actually was lovable through the chaste hearts of these three women religious. For the first time in my life, after my priesthood, I recognized that I was genuinely lovable. And that's when everything began to change. I was far less harsh on myself and far less harsh on others. It might not seem that way, but it's true. It was worse. To experience the love of God is the single most important thing that can happen to us, because it's what helps us to become that love in the midst of the church. I mentioned to you, I think last year on this gospel, the advice I give to priests who are going in to preach retreats to religious for the first time, that there are always two types of religious, to break it down into gross generalizations. Those who get it and those who don't. The ones who get it are those who get that it's all about love. Those who don't are often very virtuous sisters, but they're living from one aspect of the constitution to the next. And you can tell in the way that they go about their life and their, some of the times in their physiognomy, that they don't yet experience that they are beautiful to God. That Jesus would come for them 1,000 times today on Mount Calvary and suffer 1,000,000 times worse atrocities to save them. And if we, as priests and religious, haven't yet had this experience of how lovable we are, we're never going to be credibly able to help others to experience, in the midst of all their difficulty, even in the midst of their sins, that God's love for them is even greater. So it's key for us, if we were to learn one passage in sacred scripture, if we were like St. Joseph Cupertino, were to be an expert on just one verse, that it be this one. Because if we get this, if we really experience it, what Christ's agape for us means, then everything will be revolutionized. Those are the ever new wineskins we need. What do we learn from this passage? Jesus gives us the greatest command of all. Remain in my love. Remain in my love. Stay there. Because Jesus recognized that many of us, especially if we don't love ourselves, if we don't think we're lovable, we're going to try to run away from the love of God. So many people, as they're running away, want to prove that they're unworthy of the love of God. And over the course of my life, that's where a lot of sin comes from, especially those who give in to various forms of depravity. They have such a terrible self-esteem. They don't recognize their dignity and how loved they are by God. And they think the exact opposite, so they begin to engage in behavior to bring about God's pity rather than just remaining in His love. Even some of the times for us, priests and religious, we can flee from those experiences of intimacy with the Lord's love, experiences of prayer, dwelling there, because we just don't think we can handle it or we're worthy of it. Jesus tells us, remain in my love, stay there. And He tells us how. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in His love. The commandments are all about the love of God. We can't be remaining in God's love if we're serving other gods, if we're treating His holy name as a throwaway word, if we're blowing Him off on the Lord's Day. We can't be loving the Lord if we're not loving those whom He has placed in our path, in whose image has been made, and as He's told us, the way we treat them, we treat Him. So we can't be loving the Lord if we're dishonoring the parents through whom He gave us life, if we're murdering or hating people, if we're taking advantage of people for our own gratification, if we're stealing, if we're deceiving them, if we're upset at the relationships or the things with which God has blessed them. As Jesus would say in Matthew 22, the whole law and the prophets hang. All the commandments depend on this twofold love of God and neighbor. To remain in the love of God, we remain in His commandments, not as an extrinsic duty, but as an interior expression of our love. We're not just following rules. What we're actually doing is we're walking the path of love. And so rather than not superstitiously following other gods, we actively love the Lord. Rather than not throwing away His name in vain, we call upon His name in prayer. Rather than violating the Sabbath, we seek to love the Lord the most we can on the Sabbath. And similarly, seek to honor our parents in the most important and eternal way possible by living the types of lives in which God will pull aside the saints in heaven and say, isn't that your little girl? Isn't that your little boy? To our parents, God willing, that rather than not killing people, we honor their life. We give rather than steal. We tell the truth, even if it's a challenge, rather than lie. We rejoice when someone is blessed, rather than get jealous. Jesus says what the fruit of all of this will be. I have told you this, so that my joy might be in you, and your joy might be complete. The overflow of being loved, no matter what we do, and the overflow of loving others like that, loving God and others like that, is joy. We cannot have real joy without this experience of love. And Jesus has come into our world and is pouring out his hearts for us so that we would be able to experience not an ephemeral joy here in this world, but an eternal joy in the kingdom of love where he has gone to prepare a place for us. This was a challenge in the early church. As we talked about yesterday, as we'll see the conclusion of it tomorrow, in this first council of Jerusalem, it was essentially about this: whether salvation comes from the experience of the love of God, or whether it comes from our own actions. And whether God just loves the Jews, or whether God loves all his creatures. That's the context of this. And so when St. Peter got up and gave his witness about what happened in the house of Cornelius, what happened when the vision came about not being afraid to eat all types of food, St. Peter was talking about the love of God for the Gentiles, how the Holy Spirit had been poured out on them the same way it had been poured out on them. The love of God poured into our hearts, St. Paul would write about this experience of the Holy Spirit in Romans 5:7. And St. James got up and mentioned that the proclamation of the love of God would be brought to all the nations. And that's what the church continuously does. So we'll see tomorrow, but we won't be together, so to anticipate, they just give three conditions, all of which are about the love of God. The first is pride. Don't eat meat strangled. Don't eat strangled, the meat of strangled animals. The whole Jewish kosher dietary practices is to drain all the blood from the meat, because blood for a Jew was a sign of life. And if you were eating meat with blood still in it, it was a sign that you were Lord of death and Lord of life, which is only God. Pride obviously can get in the way of experiencing the love of God, because we don't think it's gratuitous. We think that it's merited. We can shut ourselves off to this relationship of love, which is asymmetrical with God, if we start trying to usurp God's place. Second, with regard to this, was about community. That we shouldn't eat these types of meat strangled animals because they give offense. First is meat strangled animals and pride. Second, you'll see tomorrow, is not eating the pagan sacrifices. The ones that when the pagans went up to their temple, they would sacrifice an animal. Just a little bit would be actually sacrificed, and then the rest of the animal would be given back to the family in order to share in the feast. And for a Jew who looked at eating as a part of the actual sacrifice, go back to the Passover, eating the Passover lamb, that was a sign to outsiders of actually assenting to the pagan Holocaust. So it was a scandal. And so because of the love of others, the love of community, don't do that. And the third practice was to avoid all immoral sexual activity, because what the devil's constantly trying to do is convert love into lust. And as we'll see, when these were read to the Christians in Antioch. There was no little joy there, because they saw in these three commands means by which their love would be able to retain its vigor and its holiness. We celebrate today the feast of St. John the First Pope. Feast of St. John the First Pope from 523 to 536. It was a time where the Arian heresy had diminished a little bit, was still around. The Ostrogoth king Theodoric, who was an Arian, wanted St. Pope John to come and defend the Arians when they were basically being kicked out of normal practice of the church. And the Pope refused because of the cancer of heresy. And so what Theodoric did was he imprisoned St. John for the faith and he starved him to death. Pope St. John's love for God and love for others showed itself in his fidelity to the end. And just like Maximilian Mary Kolbe centuries later, so Pope St. John, while he was dying, never doubted in the love of the Lord. But because of his hunger for the Lord, which had become his ultimate holocaust, he was able to give a witness to the depth of love. We'll hear it tomorrow. Jesus will say, the greatest love of all is to lay down your life for your friend. Pope St. John knew that Christ loved him to that extreme, and he was willing to reciprocate that love out of love for God and out of love for others. Today, as we come forward to the sacrifice, this is where Jesus every morning doesn't merely say, I love you, but he gives himself for us each day out of love. As we hear these words, this is my body given for you. This is the chalice of my blood to be poured out for you. Let us hear the echo of his words. Just as the Father has so totally and perfectly loved me, so I love you individually in that very same way. If we experience this, we will be the happiest and the most joy-filled people, attracting the whole world to the same divine lover. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.